Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you so much. And Joey, thank you, buddy. God bless you. Amen. Do you know what prophesy means? What does prophesy mean? To speak forth inspired words. 1 Corinthians 14 says that everybody can prophesy. If you're born again, you can prophesy. And it means to speak forth inspiring words that either edify, build up a person, comfort somebody who needs comfort, or encourage, give somebody courage. So we can all prophesy, and we should be prophesying to one another. I don't know anybody at all that doesn't need encouragement or comfort. So everybody needs. Tonight, before you leave, your assignment is to find one person and prophesy to them. And it doesn't mean you have to say, "Thus saith the Lord." You can go up to somebody and with all sincerity, "I appreciate your faithfulness. I thank you for being here, Richard. You're always up here on the front row. You come early. You're here. I just want you to know, brother, it means a lot to me when I come in here and see you here with your notepad and your Bible. And to know that you've grown in the Lord, it just blesses me. I'm not flattering him. I'm telling you it's coming out of my heart. That's what I appreciate about him. So I've just prophesied to him without saying, "Thus saith the Lord." I'm prophesying. I'm building him up. Everybody needs that. They need a little encouragement. There are people around you right now that need a word. And sometimes God will put the word in your heart for them that you just need to just speak it out. Just go for it. You say, "What if I'm wrong?" Well, you're never going to go wrong by trying to encourage somebody. Everybody needs something. Tonight, there are people sitting around you that need to be prophesied to. And you can prophesy. And it says that all may learn. So you learn. You learn how to do that. How many of you here today would say your motivational gift, your spiritual gift, you have motivational gifts, and then you have ministry gifts, and then you have manifestations of different kinds of gifts. But your motivational gift is your heart motivation. This is your heart motivation, and one of the gifts of the Spirit is a gift of encouragement. And that you just naturally are able to see people when they're down and you notice they need a word of encouragement or comfort. How many of you say, "Boy, that's me. I do that a lot." Good. Then do it. Before you leave tonight, find one person, male with male, female with female, if all possible, and just give them an encouraging word. Not flattery, but right now the Lord's just going to give you something for somebody. We could go around right now and just practice that. Everybody would just get with somebody and just practice giving them a sincere encouragement. That's actually prophesying. Doesn't have to sound spiritual, but it's prophesying. So every time you come to church, you always have ministry assignments. You know, one of the things the Lord showed me this morning in my quiet time is that lately we've been doing the altar call invitation at the end of our Sunday morning service differently. We'll call people up like we did Sunday to receive the Lord and make it publicly known. And that's a good thing for them to step out because it proves to them that they're genuine, and then the devil can't talk them out of an emotional moment later. So if you stand up in front of almost 300 people on a Sunday morning, you're probably pretty sincere, Because they say that one of the greatest fears people have is speaking in public or, standing up in front of people. And especially when you weren't planning on doing it. So it's a pretty good sign that the Lord was working in their life. But a part of that, the invitation that we do now is that we tell people that need ministry to sit, just stay there. And then the intercessors and the altar workers will come to you. I've never seen anybody do that. I mean, it may be done before, but that's really a unique way to minister to people who don't maybe have the courage to come up front, but they need ministry. That's when this ministry of encouragement, prophesying, is really needed. You go and you talk to them and say, how may I pray for you? And they usually tell you. So it's an easy way to learn how to prophesy. And you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. You just, you know, just speak life into them. And that's what we're called to do. What do you think is unique about this church? Because there are churches a dime a dozen. They're all over. And there are lots of good churches. And they all have different personalities, like we all have different personalities. Every church has a different personality. And some say it takes on the personality of the pastor. That's kind of scary for you guys. So, but it's not necessarily true. Every church has its own personality, has its own flavor, have its unique giftings, unique callings. Let me just hear some edifying comments tonight about what you would say, wow, what's different about this church? Because I don't get out much. This is where I go to church for 20 years. I've been here, so I don't get out much. So I don't get to see what's going on out there in other church land. So tell me just a little something unique.
I would say reverence. That's what comes to my mind right away, is that just the very sense when we first came was when you got down on the floor to pray at the beginning of service. That's not done. That's not done in places. And when you said this house, you know, that this is a house of prayer, and that is so absolutely true, but your reverence, you're bowing down, get down on your knees. And then when we saw, and worship is worship, and the flags, I mean, we were pretty much in awe that we've not been to a church like this.
That scares a lot of people away, Tom, but it didn't scare you guys. Yeah, yeah. Hi, Peggy.
Hi. From us, it was feeling that the Holy Spirit is in this church and the people are so kind and loving, and that's why we decided to come here. And you're pretty good, too.
Thank you. Well, appreciate that. But it is true about the people. You guys have a reputation of a loving, loving church that is rare. I hate to say that. Isn't it terrible to have to say about a church that, but you guys really have something unique going on here.
Freedom to move in the spirit. Cool. Just to let people do, like, give a word or dance or pray or whatever they feel led to do or you feel led to do.
And that's what that beautiful song we just sang is perfect for, you know, absolutely.
Well, I was so excited to get here, but let me tell you, I came here from San Jose, or Sacramento, and I said, God, I don't drive a car anymore. I need to find a good church. I don't know how you're going to do it. And so anyway, I went to Patty and Ryan's house anyway. And so anyway, I was there for 2 hours, and guess what? They said, we'll take you to church on Sunday. Where we go? I tell you, this is the most blessed church I've been in. I've been in a lot of churches that are getting dry. And when I came in here and I felt the Holy Spirit so strong, I said, thank you, God. You brought me to the right place. And I tell you, it's awesome to be here.
Thank you. Wow, that is so cool. When you say you feel the Holy Spirit, try to elaborate. Tell me what you mean by that. I mean,
just the way that you handle when you're doing your sermons, the way you communicate it to us and have the emotion you have, because you can be just calm while you're explaining stuff, or you can be climbing over the chairs, and it kind of gets everybody alive.
Emotion, yeah, good, that's awesome.
The Spirit moves us into worship, right into the throne room.
Awesome. Yeah, the worship Sunday was off the charts, I thought.
Many people have told me over the years when they ask me where I go, and I go to Grace Tabernacle, they tell me that I have a pastor that's anointed. Bottom line.
A little crazy, but anointed. Praise God. Yeah. Hey, brother.
I love the spirit of faith in this church. When people are praying for you, you know they're praying for you, and you know they're believing what they're saying.
That's awesome. The sincerity of people's faith is revealed. You see it, huh?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Wow. That is so cool. Okay. I feel like Phil Donahue right now.
I just love how everybody's willing to help each other. If somebody has a need or a want, all you have to do is ask. And it's like we pick up the slack for others that don't have the same qualities, and we all fit together like a glove when we're together.
Well, you do that. I see that in you, Pauline. You really are a servant heart. You already are doing that. She jumps out there to help people, and thank you.
Well, everything that everybody said, but I want to encourage our music. I mean, we have the best music and singers and instrumental people, and I'm so grateful for that because that's what brings in the spirit for us to receive.
Yeah. Yep. Did you hear that, Michelle? She's back here right behind you. It takes a leader to do that. She brings this team together to do that. Did you have something, Gary?
Yes. Okay. Uniquely real, bathed in truth.
Uniquely real.
Bathed in truth.
Amen. That's beautiful. I love it. I'm coming. John?
This is truly a Bible church. It's not lukewarm, and it's not religious like the other churches I used to go to. This is real.
Awesome. That's awesome. Praise God. Anybody else? Okay, one more. Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at you.
Comfort for us. We felt complete comfortable when we came the first Wednesday 4.5 years ago. And we completely and totally understand your teaching.
Well, that's very unusual. You understand my teaching. That's really unusual.
Yes,
you know, part of the preacher's job, they say, is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Then.
I was waiting for you to catch that. So, don't want you to get too comfortable where you're not growing. I'm just teasing with you there. Yeah, part of what we do.
I got to go with freedom. I mean, you know, somebody mentioned the flags, and to where you allow, for the most part, anyone to stand up and address the church. A lot of pastors won't do that for fear, you know. I understand that, but yeah, it's the freedom to, and the Holy Spirit is full of this building.
Well, just so thankful you guys are here.
A lot of more beautiful churches and bigger churches and more richer churches, but it seems like, and I've seen them, the sermons are dry, the music is slow, and this is it for us, man.
Well, you know, this church is growing, and it's going to grow. I can see one day where we're going to have a lot more people here, and that's not our number one goal, but it is about people. But there will be 1,000 people here on a regular basis where we have to have multiple services, and that will change a lot of our, it should never change the friendship and the love and the small church atmosphere of loving each other, ministering to one another, but there will be more people because there's people that need to be saved and people that need to be discipled, and they're all around us. So, you know, you're in a good place. Yes.
Pastor, there are so many, many, many people in this church that you can tell are being led by the Holy Spirit. Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I just want to say that when we came, we came during when they were having, you know, the programs. Yeah. And then we decided to come on a Sunday. Well, we felt the true test was on Wednesday night. Because, and as she said about bringing the word, we've been brought up in, you know, Holiness Church. And I hate to say it, a lot of it in the black culture is the last part of a hooping and a hollering and so forth. But to hear the word expounded on, that you actually take it home and meditate on it, that is a different. It stays with you. Because I hate to say, a lot of time, you know, they go forth and they say, well, what did the preacher talk about? And you say, well, I don't know, but he really preached. Well, that's stupid, you know, but that's what we felt. And it was on a Wednesday night that we joined. We were sitting here and you had spoken. And we just said, and we both said it the same, this is the place. In fact, you wrote us up because everybody was leaving. So we're just glad to be here. And we have grown. We have grown.
Well, you are a blessing to us as well. And
so when we came, we were definitely afflicted.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We grew a lot in the last church, but it didn't have the freedom of worship because it was large and they had to do many things. But I wanted to highlight the amount of teachers we have here. That Bible is amazing. And I have never seen a minister prepare a sermon and then on the way get told somebody else should speak and allow that to happen. And so that's phenomenal. That's great.
Wow. Awesome.
My husband Tom and I came to this church in 2008, Pastor, traveling the country. When I opened that door for the first time, there was somebody at the door that welcomed us and made us feel at home after traveling all the time. And I knew that the love of Jesus as a family is here.
Awesome.
People love each other. They're genuine in their conversation here.
That is awesome. That's beautiful. Donna?
I want to expound on what Barbara said, because I know for me, I have always had a deep faith. But coming here has made me grow so much spiritually that I now feel confident in going out and spreading the word, which I never did before.
Boldness. Praise God. That's awesome. Do you know what you just did? You just prophesied. That's exactly right. That's what prophecy is. You just did it. So you can do this. Every day of your life, you should prophesy to somebody without letting them know you're prophesying like thus saith the Lord necessarily. Just prophesy every day of your life. Somebody needs it, and it'll help you as well. You feel better after you just said something you know is going to help somebody else. That's ministry.
Pastor, I'd just like to say something. I went to the blood bank yesterday. And while waiting on my wife, I was trying to find something on my phone and couldn't find that lady across from me. She came over and showed me what I was supposed to do. And we talked, and she was telling about she retired, her husband retired. And he kind of stingy. And he want a truck, and he need a truck, but he don't want to spend the money. And she said, "Will you talk to my husband?" And so we walked out together. So I talked to him and, you know, gave him a good time. And then she had told me he had cancer. And I told him, I said, "Man, go ahead on and spend your money. Get that truck like your wife wants you to get that truck, man." I said, "Cause you're going to leave this money here and everybody going to spend it." He said, "Yeah, man, her boyfriend probably spend it." I said, "Yeah, you're going to do that too. But you going to get her a truck." And I said, "It's okay if I pray for you." And he said, "Yeah." And I prayed for the man. And God touched the man. He said, "Man, I feel cold chills." Or he was crying. And his wife, he said, "I'm so glad I met you." I said, "Well, you boys meet me today. If I don't see you no more, do what I say." And I try to make it my business to witness somebody. If you call me on the telephone to do business, I'm going to ask you, "Do you know Jesus Christ? And how do you know him?" So I don't care where you at. I helped one guy, man, 30-something minutes. He on the job talking to me. And I was telling him about Christ. And it's good, Pastor. And one thing I want to say, but it was Wednesday night, and I came here, and just like my wife said, a lot of hooping and hollering, but you the first pastor that really taught the word and was serious. And we joined on Wednesday night, and you was at my house on Friday afternoon talking to me. That don't usually happen. It encouraged us, and you were glad to have us. And we're glad to have you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I appreciate that encouragement.
The vision I had this morning about our invitation was, you know, how we go out and we sit down with people and we minister to people. And the Lord showed me, he said, that's exactly what I want to happen for all the people of the church to go outside the church. When they go out, they go find somebody that's willing to talk to them and they can minister to and they can pray for them and they can encourage them or give them an encouraging word or give them some direction or something like that. That's what God's vision is for what we do on Sunday morning, is just a little look-see of what God wants to happen for you to go out into the world and touch people, and you make an eternal difference in your workplace, in your neighborhood. You go where the doors open. You don't have to force Jesus on anybody. There's enough hungry people out there. They want what you have. You just got to arrange the opportunity to talk to the Lord about that with them. Tonight, I want you to look at number 8. Number 8 in the Bible. It's interesting. As God speaks through Numbers, number 8 is a new beginning. Many times he uses the number 8 to mean a new beginning. So if 7 is, we recognize from last week, is the number of completion. So we put 7, and that represents the number of completion, not perfection, but completion. And then we add 1, which is God's number or represents the Trinity or the oneness of God. God is one. Then we get number 8, which is a new beginning. 7 days in a week, and then you start with a new week. It's a new beginning, a new order of things. It's interesting how many times God uses this number 8 to represent new beginnings. In the book of Genesis, God destroyed the world because it was so wicked and the wickedness of man's imagination was horrid. God destroyed the world by flood, and he started over with Noah. Noah's name means peace. It started over with Noah and his family. And look what he says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with 7 others. So what number was Noah? Number 8. A new beginning. So when Noah and his family came out of the ark, it was a new beginning. And he happened to be what God called number 8 out of all of them. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were being saved through water. A new beginning. God used this number 8 right at the beginning in Genesis to show us number 8 means a new beginning. It's interesting. The Bible shows some specifics for a reason with this number 8. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being, and the Bible specifically says, when he was 8 days old, as God commanded him. Why not 7? Why not 5? Why number 8? All of you medical people probably know the answer to that. Why was the baby not to be circumcised until day 8? Vitamin K in the body that enables the body to clot is at its highest peak on day 8. So that the child would not bleed out from circumcision. God, who knows everything, knows how the body functions, told Abraham to circumcise his son on the 8th day. God's pretty smart, you think? Babies are circumcised on the 8th. Now, today, they don't do that. They get a vitamin K shot while they're, you know, right after they're born or not long after that, so they can go ahead and circumcise the child if they want to do that while they're in the hospital. Spiritually, though, It's significant because eight means putting off the flesh and putting on the new creation in Christ. And you see this mentioned two times in Colossians 2:11 and Ephesians 2:10. It's putting off the flesh and putting on the newness of Christ. Just some other interesting facts here. Under the Old Testament, if you lived in the Old Testament days, it took 7 days of consecration. And before, if you were going to be a priest, if you were a Levitical priest, there were 7 days of consecration, and your ministry did not start until the eighth day, a new beginning. The high priest Aaron and his sons began their ministry on the eighth day. The same thing is true of the cleansing of the leper. If a person had leprosy, but back then was considered an incurable disease, except by a miraculous touch from God, the person who had leprosy would go to the priest and he'd be examined. And on the eighth day, if he showed no signs of leprosy, he would be declared clean. He would have a new beginning, a brand new life. Number eight means new beginning. So many times the Lord gives us new things in the new covenant. For example, Psalm 96 says we have a new song. We have a new name. And, you know, when you get to heaven in Revelation chapter 2, 17, there'll be a day when you have a new name, not the same name as your earthly name. We have a new heart when we're born again. We have a new passion, according to Ezekiel 36. God gives us a new spirit, John chapter 3. Mark 16 says we can have a new tongue. We can speak in tongues, a new tongue, a new commandment. Anybody know what the new commandment is in the new covenant? That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. This is the new commandment I give unto you. It's love. Everything now in the new covenant operates on the basis of love. Spiritual gifts do not function properly without the motivation of love behind it. You know, you can have an anointing to do something and have an anointing to do something from God. God gives gifts from the Holy Spirit, we call anointings, to do certain things. When you're born again, you're given a gift that God intends for you to use it. But you can also have talent and skills to do things that God has given you, but you have to be careful not to just think that the anointing is necessarily God's approval to go do something. Our character has to grow up in maturity so that we operate these giftings without promoting ourselves or ego or anything like that, that we're operating out of the spirit of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You can name all the fruits of the Spirit, the nine fruits of the Spirit that people call love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. But you can sum them all up in there is only one fruit of the Spirit. It's love. Love manifested in joy. Love manifested in peace. Love manifested in goodness, kindness, gentleness. That's love. So there's really only one fruit of the Spirit. It's love. It doesn't say, look in Galatians 5, 6, it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit, singular. And it's love. And love is manifested in all these various ways with one another. So, you know, I don't know why I got off on that tangent. Now I don't even know how to get back where I was other than just to start. A new commandment, and a new heaven and a new earth. Thank you, Mike. So these are new things. Number eight represents new beginnings. Examples of eight in Scripture, you know that King David, a man after God's own heart, was the eighth son of Jesse. Not a coincidence. A new beginning. He's the one that brought in a new form of worship. I mean, he was a radical man. David was a man before his time. He saw how God wanted us to worship with freedom. He saw how God wanted us to worship him with singing and musical instruments and loud singing and cymbals. And he wrote about that in the Psalms. David was a man before his time. And you know what? When you are a person walking in the Spirit, you are a person before your time as well. God will give you new things, new songs. I mean, He'll do things new with you. You are a person before your time when you're walking in the Spirit. People will notice that about you. Elijah performed 8 miracles. Elisha, who came after him, he prayed for a double portion, remember? And he got it. He did 16 miracles. 8, sign of a new beginning. 16, double. Jesus as our Redeemer, the banner on the wall, and we talked about that Sunday, shows up 8 times in the Scripture. Jesus is able to take the bad things in our life, turn it around, and make something good come out of it. How many of you know that's true? Then you also know Romans 8:28, and we know. That's what it starts with. And we know all things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to His purpose. We know. So just give it time. Don't get frustrated. Don't get angry. Don't cuss. It'll work out. You got to maintain the right faith attitude. Next is 8 women who were prophets in the Bible. Miriam, Deborah, Huldah, Anna, 4 daughters of Philip. People say there are no prophets in the New Testament. Boy, you're totally wrong on that. Especially if we're all told to prophesy. We may not be in the office of a prophet, but you can prophesy. There is the office of the prophet. That's different. The 5-fold ministry. In Ephesians chapter 4, there's the apostle. There's the prophet. There is the evangelist. There's the pastor. There's the teacher. The prophet of the apostle would be the thumb. The thumb can touch all of those areas. An apostle today would be a church starter, someone who starts a church. A missionary could be an apostle. That's an apostolic calling. You don't have to have the title on your card or on your name. You don't have to call people apostle this and bishop that. People get hung up on that kind of stuff. Forget titles. Forget that. That's where ego comes in. We don't need that. If you're an apostle, people will know it. If you're a prophet, you don't have to tell people. They'll know it. If you're an evangelist, you don't have to tell people I'm an evangelist. They'll know it. If you're a pastor, teacher, people will know it. Amen, pastor. Amen. They'll know it. You don't need to put it on a card. One time a guy came to my office and he was new to our church. This is back in the days when we were in the warehouse and he wanted to impress me. He told me threw a card down and said he was prophet so-and-so. I said, oh, really? I said, prophesy. And you mean now? I said, yeah, prophesy. You're a prophet, just prophesy to me. But then he started saying a bunch of stuff, you know. I shouldn't have put him on the spot like that. I was a little mean, but I was kind of tired of people throwing their titles around like they're really supposed to be somebody. If you are who you are, it'll show up. It'll show up. If you're a mechanic, it'll show up. People will know you're a good mechanic. If you're a doctor, people know you're a good doctor. If you're a fool, people will know you're a fool. Isn't that right? I love the fact that Philip in the New Testament had 4 daughters, and they were all prophets and evangelists, prophets. Amazing. New Testament time. Also, we got apostles in the New Testament beyond the 12. 8 additional apostles other than the original 12 are mentioned in the Bible. Matthias, Barnabas, Paul, Andronicus, Junia, James, Silvanus, and Timothy. These were apostles, called apostles in the Bible. We have apostles today. I've had people in our church that were apostles that could start ministries. They could start a brand new ministry. They could just do things. A guy that actually started our food pantry originally started it in a closet. And I saw an apostolic mantle on him. He wasn't trying to be an apostle, but he was the kind of guy that could come in and could start things and get things going. That's an apostolic ministry. No charge for that. Eight, number eight, new beginning. The Bible gives us eight things. Philippians 4:8 says, when you think about things, make sure your mind thinks on these things. Here's a test. See if you know it. What's the first one? Think on whatsoever things are true. Think on whatsoever things are honest. Think of whatsoever things are just. Think of whatsoever things are pure. Think of whatsoever things are lovely. What? Think of such things such as our GR, good report. Think of whatever things are of virtue, excellence. And think upon whatever so things are praiseworthy. There you go. Eight things to keep your mind, your focus. And if it doesn't fit that category, frisk your thoughts real quick and say, oh, get out of here. It's not allowed. You know, frisk your thoughts with that right there. Number eight. There are eight caves mentioned in the Bible. Eight caves. A cave is a place where you hide for a season. It's a place of refuge, a hiding place, until God brings you out of the cave to begin a whole new beginning. Some examples. Lot fled to a cave. Remember when God was raining down fire and brimstone, Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot and his daughters, his wife was supposed to go with them too, but what did she do? She looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. Today, if you take a guided tour in Israel, they'll take you to a big old pillar of salt, and they'll say, there she is. And you guys will probably fall for it just like most of us do. Say, really? And get out and take pictures, a pillar of salt. You have no idea if that was her or not. And they also take you by a big old giant tree as you're coming out of Jerusalem. And they say, Zacchaeus was up in this tree. And all the tourists get out and take pictures. Oh, wow, that's really cool. And the guide sits over there going, oh, my goodness. Thank God for tourists. But Lot fled to a cave, and his life started over after that. David hid in a cave from Saul, and his life started over. After that time, Elijah heard the still small voice of God in a cave. It wasn't in the earth. It wasn't in the fire. It wasn't an earthquake, fire, or the windstorm. He heard the still small voice, and God told him in that still small voice to go back to where he came from. Lazarus was buried in a cave, not a grave. Been kind of hard to get him out of that grave, wouldn't it? It may take a little longer, but he was buried in a cave. And came out and had a whole new beginning. Bible says Adam lived 800 years after Seth. You know who Seth was? That was number three son. Remember the show, My Three Sons? Cain, Abel, Seth. And Seth was a good one. Remember, Cain killed Abel, but Seth was a good son. And Seth was a new beginning, a new beginning. And his name shows up eight times. Isn't that interesting? So you have eight, then you have a double eight. I didn't bring the right markers with me. Jenny gave me new markers, not her fault. It's my fault. Then you have eight plus eight, or 16. Two eights in the Bible. It's interesting. 16. Double eight, new beginning, new beginning. 16, actually there are 16 descriptions of love in the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. That's the first thing. Now that always amazes me, and that usually stops me in my tracks when I'm impatient. The very first word God uses to describe love of all things, love is patient, Joey. Love is patient. Love is patient. And so if I'm not patient, then I'm not walking in love. Love is kind. If I'm not walking in kindness, I'm not walking in love. Love envies not, flaunts not puffed up, not behaving self improperly, not seek its own, not easily provoked. If I'm easily provoked, then somebody has power over me. I'm not walking in love. If somebody can cause me to have road rage, I'm not walking in love. Even if I just come from church. Hello, am I talking to anybody? Before you go home tonight, somebody's going to cut you off. Not easily provoked. Thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures. Love never fails. Never. Ever. Love never fails. Sometimes we don't know how to fix people. We've tried everything we know. We've tried every program. We've tried every book we've read, and we don't know how to fix a situation. Well, here God says, well, finally, it's just this. Always realize love never fails. Show love. Manifest love. No matter what. You may not see a result right away like you'd like to see it, but eventually you will, because love never fails. That's what God says. Never fails. Do you know there are 16 compound names for God? You know, like Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Mekedeshkim, the Lord who sanctifies us. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth us. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides for us. Do you know some other compound names of God? Jehovah just means the Lord. And then he often reveals some aspect of his nature to us by using a compound name. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. We wave these banners. We're actually proclaiming the Lord is our banner. His banner over us is love. Okay. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is our shepherd. That's a compound name for God. There's 16 of them in the Bible. And then I want to show you this. It's interesting that number 3, we've talked about before, represents the fullness of God, represents the Trinity. Number 3, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so when you put 3 and 16 together, which 16 represents the love of God, when you put it together, you got the 3 16s of the Bible, which represent the fullness of God's love. Everybody knows John 3:16, right? Do you know 1 John 3:16? A fun study in your Bible is just study the 3:16s and go through the Bible. It's a fun study. Here's 1 John 3:16. Let's say it together. 1 John 3:16. Put that up next, please. Hereby perceive we, say it with me, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Means the very love that God has given to me, I ought to, in the same way, to reciprocate that by giving that love to you. I ought to love you with the same kind of love that God has loved me. God's been patient with me. God's been kind to me. God has been merciful to me. God has been generous to me. God had blessed me. He's been, when he should have crushed me, he should have ground me into powder and blasted a nostril at me and blew me out of the universe. But he was kind to me and loving to me. In the same way, since I have had that kind of love, I can give it away. It's not hard to do. You accept. I love it. That's good. It's not hard to let God love through people, through you. It's not difficult at all. So let me wrap this thing up here. Psalm 91. Many of you familiar with Psalm 91. It's a psalm to be read that we pray it during our protection, for protection. It's interesting. There's 16 verses manifesting the fullness of God's love. A new beginning of freshness of God's love. You know it? Let's say some of it together. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Notice this. Say it with, stop right there. It's voice activated. There are some promises from God that can't be activated by just reading it with your mind. It's voice activated. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my cave, my hiding place. But He's also my fortress. He's a place of refuge. There are times I need refuge. Sometimes I need to be hidden from the enemy. But a fortress is a place you attack from. So you have to have both. There are times you need a refuge, but there's also a time you need a fort to fight from, to fight the enemy with. But notice, this is voice activated. All of these 16 verses, you can claim them. We had a storm many years ago. Some of you have heard this story. Tornadoes were all around our neighborhood. And we had folks calling us at midnight saying, you need to take shelter, get into your bathroom or something, because tornadoes are all over Fruitland Park. It's where I live. And when the phone rang, it woke me up out of a deep sleep. And I heard Pam talking, and she got nervous, and she said, there's tornadoes, you know. And I got angry at that moment. This was just God helping me. I got angry at that moment, not angry at her. I got angry at the devil. And I spoke out loud in the name of the Lord Jesus. I take authority over you, and I commanded those tornadoes to get back up in the atmosphere and get out of our neighborhood. You have no authority here. And then I started quoting Psalm 91. God, you said, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shelter of the Almighty. We are under your shelter. There ain't no storm going to come here. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Tornadoes, get out of here. And I did just like that. And I surprised myself. And then after I got done ranting and raving for about 60 seconds, Pam said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going back to bed. And I went back into bed, turned the lights out, and then she did too, and we never had any issue whatsoever. It's voice activated. Not because I'm some mighty man of God, because I'm that's not the case. All it's the Spirit of the Lord. And I had enough sense to recognize that God was telling me, take authority over this thing. I will say of the Lord. And God protected us. God blessed us. The number of the Antichrist is what? The numerical value of the name of Jesus in Greek is 888. New beginning. The most watched movie in history is what? The Jesus film, put out by Campus Crusade. Now, we had Steve and Kathy, you worked for Campus Crusade for a while. And that is the Campus Crusade great project, producing the Jesus film in over 888 languages. It may be more now, but as of when I wrote this message yesterday, it was 888 languages that film, the most watched film in history, the Jesus film, been translated in different languages. The USA, you can see my notes, the USA was formed in 1776. That's 888 times 2. Is that a coincidence? Does God speak through numbers sometimes? And when He does, we need to listen. Toll-free number you can call anywhere in America is 888. And God's phone number is Jeremiah 33:3. Say it with me. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Amen. So put that in your phone so you have God's phone number, okay? All right, let's stand up. Thanks for putting up with me. Now your assignment is, before you leave, prophesy to somebody. Amen. Yes, Pastor, we will do that. Thank you. Encourage me by saying, yeah, we'll do that. We're going to prophesy to somebody before I leave. Just to prophesy to somebody. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for we got to be together tonight. Now, give us safety as we go home. And tonight, when we sleep, Lord, I pray that each one of us will have a blessed night's sleep, a restorative sleep, that we'll wake up in the morning refreshed. And even in our night watches, Lord, minister to our spirit. Help us to wake up with a song in our heart, praise on our lips, and look forward to a new day, a new beginning. Thank you for number 8. Your math, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thanks for being here tonight.